This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
All right, people out there, how y'all feeling today? I said, how y'all feeling today? All right, thank you. Thank you. That's better. Starting to wonder if I was in this room by myself.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is this still live?
It's not working for me, Red Dye. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When's ready.
I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Your breath is augmented. I like things authentic. Look at all my whips, they're authentic.
Nigga.
I got a loft with a view of the sea. See, I take some old shit and make it new for me. Pimp it out like exhibit to the oomph degree. Why spin an arm and a leg? We can kick it for free. And see, I don't like it unless it's
brand new.
You might see me in my whip with my bitch bumping my
brand new
shit. You don't like it? Get off my
brand new
dick, nigga.
I don't like it unless it's
brand new.
Had to fade out the Kanye verse. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, my name is J. Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I want to thank you, first and foremost, for giving me your ear, spending a little time with me today. Just talk through some shit, whatever it is we do. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and you are much appreciated. I faded out the Kanye verse because... this is the one area of cancel culture I think I'm gonna fuck with. Like, I'm sincerely done with Kanye. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous because, you know, we got the news about his net worth. I remember Cat Williams saying, like, when Oprah hit the $9 billion, like, you should be able to, you know, kill somebody by saying $9 billion, like, in their direction. Like, I feel like Kanye may have that kind of power right now. Like, $6 billion. Anyway, it does kind of, you know, like, I don't know. It bothers me a little bit. Like, I'm not hating on, you know, congratulations, bro. You know, I don't know. You're successful, whatever it is. It shows me, like, how hypocritical, you know, we all are. Like, you know, here's a man that now, really, these last couple of moves he made, unless they, you know, brilliant genius moves, and I just don't see it, and that's very possible. But unless that's the case, they was really, I don't give a fuck about y'all kind of moves, and somehow the Yeezys still sell out to the point that, you know, Gap is willing to throw these numbers up there, to make this man, you know, one of the richest black men in the country. I keep seeing a thing that says he's the richest in history. And I think there was a an investor or whatever it is, Robert Smith, I believe, had like $7 billion. That sounds like hate. Like, somebody say the 6.6 is the richest, and I'm like, nah, it was somebody with 7. But yeah, it was somebody with 7. It's a little hate. But shout out to Kanye. Man, other than that, let's get back to the regular shit. It's day 104, and still no word from Rhapsody. I mean, it's all good, though. I did kind of, like, allude to possibly doing something else at day 100. I did the that last little verse on day 90. Day 100 is coming gone, and I really haven't done anything. I guess, yeah, I don't know. I'm still dealing. I'm still processing people, so anytime you're ready, Rap, I'm here. But anyway, moving on to the usual stuff, Chef Elise, we did have our visit this week, and we did not cook anything different. We didn't even really do a smoothie thing. We had smoothie pops that was still left over from last week. So that was our whole smoothie thing. And I just made her like mac and cheese and some vegetables for dinner. I don't know. Weird thing. I don't know how to feel about this. Like, so I made her the mac and cheese and then like mixed vegetables. And I always give her a fruit, and she loves strawberries. So I cut up some strawberries and I put them on the plate as well. And by the time I, you know, sit down with her, like, she killed the strawberry, like, punished the strawberry. I hadn't touched anything else, killed the strawberry. Like, got one left. And I'm like, man, you might want to slow down on the strawberries. You got to eat the other food, you know, too. You're like, you might want to save those for last. That's what I used to do when I was a kid. Like, I would be trying to save the thing I really wanted for last so it could get the taste. I could, like, get the taste out of my mouth or the other shit, the peas that I didn't want to eat. Like, I could somehow, like, get rid of that with the fried chicken. It was really the star of the show. But she looked at me, like, and this is, I don't know where five-year-olds get this shit from. I'm trying to figure out where she got this thing from. But she looked at me and she was like, I'm sorry, Dad. You know, my passion was just too much for me to handle. I was like, your passion? Like, you five? What are you talking about? And really what was going through my mind is, it sounded like some addict shit to me. Like I couldn't stop myself. Like, it just jumped out of my body that I had to do it. Like, and, you know, that's a little scary. You know, I am her father.
Out of Pepe!
You know, so, I don't know. I worry about shit like that. I shouldn't, but I do. See, we spent the rest of the time doing some of her favorite stuff. Like, she loves this, I think it's called Slick Slime Sam. Like, I had to say it slowly because I tried a million times this weekend to say it, like, at a normal pace, and I just can't. Slick Slime Sam. They do, like, crafts and shit like that. And they were doing this thing where, like, they unbox toys. Like, I guess, like, kids watch unboxing videos, too. I do. I'm guilty of it. I watch unboxing videos for, like, gadgets and shit I know I'm not going to buy. Sometimes stuff I know I will buy, and I just, you know, I want the experience of unboxing it because I'm waiting on it to arrive or something like that. But we watched this unboxing video of these kids' toys. And first and foremost, like, there's a whole line of toys that's like unicorn poop, like unicorn shit. Like, these, it's in the shape of a mound of shit, like, but they different colors and they got faces and they got toys and slime on the inside. Like, of all things to pair with something that looks like fecal matter, I would think slime would not be the one. Like, that's just too close to home. Like, I don't know. Like, it's gross. Kids are fucking gross. And this is the grossest thing by far. But they got these actual line of toys that's all centered around unicorn poop. I think they call it, like, poopsies. Like, they don't even front. Like, they're not trying to pass it off as something else. They letting you know that this is what it is. This is what comes out of the butt of a unicorn. Like, and it's so real. Like, so the one we watched, me and one of my roommates, like, he stopped and got captivated and fascinated by it as well. They unboxed this whole, like, large, I guess medium-sized unicorn, and it had all these other things that came with it. And I bullshit you not, they legit fed the unicorn food. Then they sat it on a little potty, pressed a button, and made the unicorn shit slime. This is an actual toy that kids are buying. And they love it. Like, I think my daughter would lose her mind if she showed up next week and I had a slime shitting unicorn just ready for her. Like, I really feel like I'm in the wrong business, you know? Like, I'm in the wrong hustle. Like, I gotta be able to think of something as stupid as that. It's gotta be possible. I don't know. Just thinking off the top of my head. But that was pretty much our visit. Watching unicorns shit slime. It's crazy. I don't know. Back to me. Things is about to change for me. Things are definitely about to change. I'm really embracing this brand new thing. I picked this song because, like, I feel like I'm on some brand new shit. I tried to go to the thrift store the other day. I tried to go to Goodwill on a recommendation by a podcasting friend. And I was all for it. Like, I've done my community service at Goodwill. I've seen, you know, people drop off some pretty dope stuff at Goodwill. I figured, you know, I'm shopping for this new apartment. I'm trying to get, you know, all this stuff. Let me try to save some money and see what's happening at Goodwill. And I went and I gave it a fair shot. Like, I went in there with the intention of buying something, the intention of finding something that I could fit into what I was trying to do in this apartment. From Goodwill. And I walked around with a Keurig for a while. There was a Keurig machine there. And I think, I don't know, I guess the idea of, like, somebody's old used Keurig, like, just started weighing on me. The longer I walked around the store, I ended up putting it back. I got nothing from Goodwill is the short version of the story. So I guess like the song said, I don't like it unless it's brand new. And I done bought a lot of brand new stuff. I'm broke. I'm super broke. I'm not broke, but I need to act like I'm broke for the near future, for the foreseeable future. I got to do it. But yeah, man. But I'm doing a lot of brand new. I got the new apartment, new furniture. I'm switching. I'm doing a lot of dope stuff, you know, trying things out, being curious. I'm switching off coffee and I'm transitioning over to matcha. I bought myself a little matcha set with the electric whisk and all that shit. I'm going to be making matcha lattes or whatever them shits is. Like, supposed to give you that natural energy. I'm looking forward to that. And I bought all these exotic teas and shit, you know. Like, Facebook is killing me. Like, as soon as they see me going down a direction, they start, you know, throwing them ads in there, and I just be looking at stuff like, oh yeah, oh word, you got a tea that tastes like vanilla and cardamom. I don't even know what cardamom tastes like, but if it's paired with vanilla, it gotta be dope. I'm gonna buy that tea. So I'm buying all these exotic teas. My mug game is on a trillion right now. I'm buying mugs. I take that back, because I know some podcasters that got way better mug collections than I do, but my mug game is there. Like, I'm shopping for patio furniture so I can sit outside with my exotic teas or my matcha latte and read. You know, I'm about to be on some real, like, 40-year-old grown man type shit, you know, grown and sexy type shit. Like, that's what I'm trying to do. I even went as far, like, I'll admit this, last night, I created a Tinder profile. I did. You know, I still don't understand the game. I don't understand how the game is, how it's played or whatever, but I figured, what's the harm? Like, why not? Why not embrace the newness of my 40-year-oldness? I'm not 40 yet, but of the upcoming 40-year-oldness and, you know, this new life, bachelor pad type situation. Let me see what this new world is all about. And it's crazy because I was talking to a friend of mine, Devin, who's been on the show. Hopefully I don't blow up his spot or whatever. But, you know, he was just talking about his profile and how a friend of him told him that he looked too friendly or something in the profile, and that's not what the ladies want. You gotta look mad. Like, he ain't look mad enough in the picture. It's like the game has completely changed, and so right now I feel like I'm practicing. Like, I'm practicing. I'm getting back in shape. You know, I'm trying to get back in game day shape. I'm not gonna let this sports analogy die when it comes to the relationship thing. I'm really gonna ride this into the ground. But anyway, yeah, man, I'm trying to get. Trying to get ready for the game. I'm trying to understand what's happening, you know. And this relationship thing really does feel like a game. Like, it feels like a game. You got to know the rules. You got to find ways to exploit those rules. And I'm figuring it all out. I actually got a match today, and I pretty much goofballed my way through match number one. It's okay. Learning experience. It's not over. I think there's actually a message waiting for me that I have not looked at. Which is, I guess, a problem. Like, I don't want her to feel ghosted, but I don't even really know where to go from there. I'm going to share it with y'all because we family and that's what we do. I'm an open book. I tell you everything. So I seen a profile and, you know, said she liked to play chess and she was looking for somebody, you know, to play chess with. And she even put like her username on his chess site. Like, I used to play, and in my mind, I feel like I'm a chess player. But I have not played in years. And I think the last time I tried to play somebody that really played chess, I got my ass whooped. And that's why I don't play no more. But in my mind, like, I still got it. Like, I just got to get back into the game. Like, I need to go to my storage space and get the chess board out. Like, that's where I was at. So I seen this in her profile. And I was like, all right, bet, you know, attractive young lady. And she in the chess. Make it seem like, you know, I probably could play up maybe the intellectual or intelligence side, which I'm much better at trying to use that as an attractive thing than the fact that I'm short and I'm alcoholic and all that, you know. So I try to play up the intelligence. I figured this chess playing lady might be an opportunity to do that. So I swiped it right and we matched. It was my first match. It was crazy. I ain't know what to do. Like, bam, match. All right. So you know, you get the opportunity to send them a message, and in my mind, I'm like, I need to step out there. I need to not be afraid to play this game. It's a game, you know. Who cares? Win, lose, whatever. Like, It's all right. You can brush yourself off and get back in the game. But you got to start. Got to start somewhere. So I decided, bet, I'm gonna do this one. So I sent her a message. It took me a minute to figure out, like, what to say in the first message. And this is my problem, really, with this online dating and, like, app dating app situation, is there's too much time. Like, because there's so much, because I have the opportunity to spend the time to formulate my response, I feel like my response has to be perfect. It always has to be witty, funny, engaging. Like, I have to have the perfect response or the perfect opening line to whatever it is I'm getting into, because I have the time to do so. Where, like, if you're in my face and we're having a conversation wherever, you don't have that kind of time. So you just have to say something. And I'm way better at having to say something than, you know, at defeating the perfectionist in me trying to figure out the perfect thing to say. So, chess player, long story short, which always means long story. The chess player, I sent my opening message to her, was, what's your favorite opening? You know, trying to engage her on the chess level. Like, what's your favorite opening to a chess game? I did not realize how subjective, I did not realize how suggestive that sounded until after I sent it. Like, asking a woman on a dating app, what's your favorite opening? Like, I don't know. What am I expecting her to say? I don't even want to go there. But it's, I realized once I sent it that that could sound a little different than I had intended it. But I was hoping, you know, she's a chess player. She understands what I meant by opening. But of course, her response was, you mean chess or on dating apps? So I'm like, ah, okay. So like, now she's trying to call my bluff. Well, now she's pointing out the awkwardness of what I said, you know, and I don't know. So again, like, I'm trying to feel my way through the situation. It took me a minute. I got too much time. So I got time enough to think of what I think is the perfect, like, witty response. You know, so I responded. I don't even remember exactly what I said, but it was something like, you know, asking you, you know, about chess was the opening I was going for. Like, wink, like, you know, that's the opening. That was my opening move, like, in this chess game of a conversation. I know it's, the more I try to explain the what I was trying to do, the dumber it sounds, but that's what I was trying to do. Like, I was like, you know, my opening was to ask you a question about chess, blah, 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 you know, wink, wink. Whatever. And then her response to that was, oh, that's far less interesting. And then she, like, gave me a chess, the E4, the king's pawn opening, which I know because I Googled it after she sent the message. But, yeah, I really, like, goofballed my way through that. I don't know where we stand right now. I haven't looked at the message. Cause, and this is the other thing, is this dating thing is showing me some things about myself that I don't like, kind of scary. Because what I did after that, like, I immediately, like, so the young lady is a white young lady, and we're talking about the chess thing. So I think I went in there with a certain persona, and then when it seemed like that persona was not interesting to her, my immediate reaction was to black it up. Like, to, all right, she clicked on her, she matched with a black dude, she must feel like she's not getting the black dude because I'm talking about chess openings. So let me switch it up. And I think I said something like, man, well, give me some game there. You know, like, what is your favorite opening? Like, you know, how does this whole thing work? Like, I tried to switch it up and become far less, like, formal and nerdy, whatever the word is. And that bothers me because it was so seamless. Like, my personality can just change like that, depending on the situation or who I'm talking to. I really don't know, like, which one is the more me. I guess maybe I'm somewhere in the middle. Like, I'm not as, I'm saying I'm not as stereotypically black as some people would think, and I'm definitely not as professional and whatever it is that people try to attribute to whiteness as people think as well. I kind of in somewhere in the middle. I guess this podcast is probably as natural as you get me. It's nobody here. It's just me talking to y'all, the audience. I still think I may be tailoring my personality to what I think is more attractive to people, but that's not a part of the story. But yeah, I am learning, like, in life in general, that life requires authenticity. And I think for this like for this dating situation, that's going to be a very important thing for me, is to be authentic. Because if I somehow attract you by being a specific version of me, then I got to keep up that version for as long as I want you around, because that's what got you in. Now, if I keep it a buck from the gate, like this is who I am, you know, and I stay in my comfort zone with who I really am, then I got to, you know, it's much easier to maneuver and like improvise when you're in your comfort zone. It's much easier to have a like an off the cuff witty response when I'm being me than it is to figure out what the person I'm trying to be like would say that is still witty and interesting or whatever. So authenticity, I guess, is a big thing. I was talking to somebody, another podcast or a show I'm trying to do a guest appearance on. I was trying to do a guest appearance with them on the 5 love languages, but they went in a different direction. So they sent me some other topics, and I picked authenticity and gratitude, because I think those are two like core pieces of maintaining mental health and sobriety. And those are probably my like my passion projects. So yeah, that's what I learned today in trying to be on Tinder dating. It was weird. I gotta check out this message. I'll probably keep y'all, you know, don't worry, I'll tell you the whole story, because who else am I gonna tell? I don't know. I had an interesting thing last night. I had a good friend of mine, and he listens to the podcast, so he might hear this. So I ain't gonna say your name, but you know who you are. I guess he's friends with both me and my what did I say? I'm not gonna call her my ex-wife anymore. I'm not gonna use it. My daughter's mother. He's friends with both me and my daughter's mother on Facebook. And so I guess I'm assuming her status, or maybe even her name or something, or maybe she posted pictures, whatever, something in her Facebook profile, because I don't follow her no more because I don't want to see none of that shit. Something in her Facebook profile changed to where he knew that she had recently gotten remarried. So he was reaching out to me to make sure I was okay. You know, like, he had been divorced before. He knows how he felt when his ex-wife got remarried. And he was making sure I was okay, which was super dope. Like, I really have been in a place where I'm like, don't nobody check on me. Like, don't nobody care. Like, don't nobody even think that the things that are happening should affect me. Like, people are really playing it like that shouldn't bother you. Like, get over it. Like, stop being a bitch. Like, whatever. Like, that's what I feel like I'm getting from the outside world. Like, you shouldn't be upset. Whatever. She grown. She did what she want. Like, y'all divorced. Move on. Like, yeah, I get it. Still, like, still hurts. And so, like, he called. No, he didn't call. He texted, because people who know me know better than to call me. He texted me to see if I was okay. And then, of course, like, in the process of responding to his text, it became way too long of a message, because, like, I went, like, back into that zone. And I finished texting him, and I was, like, in that place, and my chest was tight, and I was, you know, the anxiety was kicking in. And I was, like, mad at myself, because I really, at this point, I really... Like, I think emotionally, I don't care. Like, emotionally, I've gone through the process of, like, dealing with it. I still have the physical reaction. Like, when I think about it, the anxiety still kicks in, and now I feel a certain kind of way. And I'm just sitting there in it, like, now I got to wait this shit out. I'm like, thanks, bro. Like, I wasn't even thinking about this until you hit me. But now, I'm, you know, now I got to sit here with the chest tight. You know, I got to go take my meds real quick, whatever. And that's crazy to me, like, because in my head, I wasn't upset. I don't want to be upset about it anymore, and I don't think I am upset about it anymore. But I still feel a certain way. Like, does that make sense? Like logically, mentally, it doesn't bother me. But somehow, like, physically and emotionally, it still bothers me. I don't know. But that happened. So, yeah, I spent the rest of the night, like, listening to Novel. Told y'all he's a... My R&B, cat for depression. Good music. I also was looking for rosaries. Might buy me a rosary. They seem kind of dope. I don't know. Somebody got to tell me, like, how offensive that is to actually wear a rosary around your neck, and if you're not Catholic. Like, if you're purely wearing it because it just seems dope. And, I mean, I'm Christian. I'm spiritual, religious, whatever the word you want to think of. So I believe, like, the cross means something to me. The rosary specifically doesn't mean something to me, but I think it looks pretty dope. But that might be overstepping my bounds a little bit. I don't know. Anyway, I really want to get into this apartment. I want my own space. I'm excited about that, for real. Well, one last thing about my daughter's mother. Because I talked last week about like how I have nothing and I'm like having to buy everything from the ground up, which is like just killing me, you know, financially. Like, I just don't like having to spend this much money. And it's my fault. Because when she told me she was leaving, and this was just like the second time she was leaving me, when she told me she was leaving, like, I was trying to be, I was in such a, I can't let you think you hurt me. And I was also trying not to, like, actually feel the full weight of the pain of my wife leaving. So I was like, I was just trying to play it, like, super cool. And she was talking to me about splitting up stuff. We decided, you know, we weren't going to keep the house, and you know, she was moving out, and so, you know, we were going to divvy up. Well, she wanted to talk to me about, you know, what I wanted, what I was going to take, and what she was going to take, and I was like, man, whatever, like, take everything, I don't want any of it. And that's exactly what the fuck she did. Like, that is, I mean, no diss, I told her to do it, like, she had every right to do it, but that is exactly what the fuck she did. She took everything, so I got nothing. Building up from the ground up. But it's going to be dope. Because not everything that I have is what I wanted. And it fits my personality. And it fits my color scheme. And my design. Whatever. You know. It's all mine. All me. Feels kind of good. All right. But last thing. Because I forgot to talk about this last week. I forgot to tell y'all the story of how a bum robbed me in broad daylight. This happened. Right. So, I have been working from home for a year, since like March of last year, working from home every day. I don't really go nowhere. Like, I go to the grocery store sometimes. I even order groceries online, so that doesn't really happen that often. I go to the daycare to like pick up my daughter on Fridays and back home. I really don't go nowhere. So I decided last week, you know, especially since Texas is opening back up, I should probably get myself back in the mode of getting up and going somewhere. So I was going to at least do one day in the office. So I decided on Tuesday, I got up, got myself, you know, on the bus, rode the bus, you know, in the downtown, went to work in the office. My manager was there. That was one of the reasons I picked Tuesday. And we had never really had a chance to, like, socialize. Like, he got hired, like, I don't know, like late February, and then like middle of March, we all got sent home. So we had never really got a chance to like socialize or anything like that. So he wanted to go to lunch. I was like, bet. You know, the city's open. You know, let's go to lunch. So we went downtown to a spot that, you know, we normally go to. And we had lunch. We had a good conversation. Me and another coworker of mine and my manager. Good time. So one of the things about downtown Austin, quickly to give you some backstory, is there's a lot of homeless people in downtown Austin. Like, it's a lot. Like, we took the wrong route to the restaurant we was going to, and we had to pass, like, by one of the shelters. So everybody was out on the sidewalk waiting to get in. And it's a lot. It's a lot. Like, it's a difficult thing, you know, if you're not ready to see all of that. It's there. So we leaving, and as we're leaving, a dude walks up to us and is asking for money. And, you know, my two coworkers, smart people that they are, they was like, I ain't got it, kept moving. I happen to have cash, and I never have cash. So I took it, like, as a sign. Like, this dude needs money. I happen to have cash, which I never do. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, and do something for him. Now, me coming from D.C., from where I'm from, When I have a lot of money, and I probably had, I don't want to talk about how much money I had, but I had some 20s in there and some 5s. And so I had a little bit of everything in there. But me coming from where I come from, if I have that much money on me, I put the 1s in the front. I never want to pull out a wad of cash, and like the 20s or the higher bills are in the front, because then it looks like you got a shit ton of money and something bad might happen to you. So I pulled out the thing. The 1s was on top. So I peeled off a couple 1s. Gave it to him. I guess he could see that there were bigger bills underneath those 1s. So then he was like, hey, man, will you give me, can I give you 8 for 10? I was you know. All right, whatever, bro. So I ain't have a 10. I got 2 5s. I handed him. I made the mistake of handing him the 2 5s before he handed me the 8. So I handed him the 2 5s, and he's still standing there in front of me. Like, he didn't, like, take the money and run. Like, this was a strong-arm situation. He strong-arm robbed me with pure guilt. I hand him the 2 5s, and he looks at me. He's like, man, can I just keep them? I'm like, fuck. Like, you know, like, I had no intent. And he still had, like, the one I had already given him. So now he got $11. I was supposed to get 8 back, but that ain't, you know, now he wanting to keep the full 11. And not only are my coworkers continuing to walk off, so I'm falling further behind. And I don't know, man. You know, thinking about how things in my life are going. I'm getting this apartment. I'm buying all this furniture. I'm spending all this money, and this guy just, like, is really trying to run game for $11. I'm like, you know, he probably need it. So I gave it to him. I was like, all right, man. Like, what was I going to do? Was I going to argue with him about, like, the business transaction that we were supposed to be having? Was I going to try to, like, flag a cop down? I'm like, he told me he was going to give me 8 for the 10, and now he reneging. He want to keep the money. Like, what was I going to do? He had the money in his hand. He probably could have taken off. He didn't. He asked if he could keep it. And it's one of them situations, like, when you're in the grocery store and they're like, you want to give a dollar for hungry kids in whatever country? It's like, you going to make me be an asshole and say no? Like, you know, you going to make me, really? You see me, like, I bought, like, a $5 water, and, you know, you going to ask me about the dollar for the hungry kids and make me be a jerk? So, yeah, bum got me for $11 off of straight guilt. And then as I was walking away, he was like, man, because I owe everybody and every... No, I said, I know everybody I owe, and everybody I owe knows me. And I'm like, all right, thanks for the limerick or whatever, but I really wish you had given me that $8 you said. But, yeah, I got robbed by a bum, broad daylight, downtown Austin, straight guilt. I tell it, I mean, this is a cautionary tale. Don't let it happen to you. If a bum asks you to do the 8 for 10 exchange, get the 8 first. I don't know. That's the advice I can give you. But with that said, we well over 30 minutes. So I'm going to do my calls to action. Zaya Fitness, please hit them up on Instagram if you're looking to get right, you know, with your fitness goals, with your nutrition goals. He can get you there. Zayah Fitness on Instagram. TTCharities.org. Please, if you're looking for ways to be impactful, if you're looking for ways to be your brother's keeper, definitely a place to start. Donate what you can, time, money, books, clothes, whatever it is. They always got something going on, always trying to take care of the people. So TT Charities, Tavares Taylor, charities.org. Hit them up. I also want to shout out my man Tito Starr, a rap artist that I knew from back home. He hit me up out the blue just to check on me, just to say what's up. Like, he knows, you know, everything that's going on in the pandemic. And I just wanted to say what's up. And it's real cool because he's at the time I knew him, his career was further along than mine was. But it's progressed since then. And so he's like, I don't know, to me, that's almost like it was like a celebrity reaching out just to say what's up. And, like, not for nothing or anything like that, but just say what's up. So Tito Starr, check my man out. I downloaded his album. I'll give a full review soon, but I'm sure it's dope. He got an album out, so please, you know, check it out. Tito Starr, that's my man. But yeah, other than that, I still got merch. Hoodie season is still in effect. HOODIESZN is the coupon code. Go to whatistws.com. Use that coupon code, get 20% off everything. I got hoodies if you're trying to make the transition. I got long sleeve shirts, short sleeve shirts, hats, whatever it is you need. I probably got it. And I'm making more shit every day. So get some merch. Help me out. whatistws.com. Yeah, the podcast is out. So please, if you enjoyed what you heard today, subscribe, rate, and review. If you didn't, you can still rate and review. I guess you probably don't want to subscribe, but I appreciate the feedback and constructive criticism, whatever it is. But with all that said, I'm going to go ahead and close out. I forget why I picked this last song, but I think for some reason both songs I picked this week have something to do with fake titties. Like, it's weird. I didn't plan it. It just happened that way. But yeah, this is Blue in Exile. I haven't listened to that album in a long time. And I know the line. Like, he said something about I love it when I tell a chick to chill and give me space and she can't. And that's dope. That's dope. I do love that. So shouts to Blue. Till we speak again, be safe, be light, be easy. Love y'all. Holla.
Morning is a devil with a little bitchy ways, but she all natural. Cause I don't like my titties fake. And the attitude bitchy, but hey, what can I say? I love it when I tell a chick to chill and give me space. And she can't cause there ain't no greater love. Cause on the real yard, there is no greater love. People try all the time trying to break us up. We keep it high up in the sky, I gotta check it up. Check it up, check it up, check it up.
Fucking up my mental when I think about it.